God's grace and His peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today comes from our gospel reading from Luke chapter 12, beginning with verse 32. And the title of this message is Being Taken for Granted. And first of all, let me start with the title. Have you ever been taken for granted? Well, first of all, we kind of have to ask, well, what does that exactly mean, being taken for granted? Looking up somewhat of a dictionary point of view, it's basically when people or another person assumes you're going to do something and they don't necessarily ask you, but they just sort of assume it. It's taken for granted that, yes, you will do something. Now, very often this phrase, being taken for granted, isn't necessarily a positive phrase. If you ask someone, or even ask yourself, do you delight in being taken for granted? Most people would say, no, I don't want to be taken for granted. I'd rather have people ask me to do something. I'd rather have people sort of appreciate what I do than sort of expect it. Now, to be fair, I would even fall into that same category. I don't even like to be taken for granted. And I will admit, having just returned from a two-week vacation, you got to find out what it's like to have a visiting pastor come. Nothing wrong with the visiting pastor, but it's not the same as your regular pastor. So things might have been a little different the last 2 weeks. Now, coming back from vacation, I will admit it's a little risky. If I find a substitute who is wonderful, you might say, don't worry, pastor, just stay on vacation. We'd rather have the substitute. But if I find a substitute who isn't so wonderful, pastor, we're really glad that you're back. Either way, I don't feel like I'm being taken for granted. But when there's a change that takes place, it gives us an opportunity to evaluate and to look at things and saying, okay, what's going on here? But let me get back to this title for a moment, being taken for granted. When was the last time you were taken for granted? Was it by a spouse? Was it by a loved one? By a coworker? By a neighbor? And then what was your reaction? Was your reaction, well, that's okay, I like this person? Or was your reaction being where your nose sort of gets a little bent out of joint? You're going, this isn't fair. We want things to be a little bit more equal. I don't want to do all the work and you only do a little bit. I don't want to be taken for granted. Well, the title of this sermon wasn't necessarily whether you were going to be taken for granted. Let's talk about someone else. We're going to talk about God. Do we take God for granted? Now, this may sound kind of a strange question to ask. And let's go back to our definition. Do we sort of assume that God is going to do things without us asking Him? At the beginning part of our liturgy, we came to what's called the confession and absolution, where we confessed our sins. But notice in that confession, was there anything in there about begging? Was there anything in there about asking, you know, God, if you feel like forgiving me my sins? No, plain and simple, we come before God and we say, yes, Lord, I'm a sinner. Yes, Lord, I have fallen short of your glory. And what is the Lord's response as spoken through your pastor? You are forgiven. In one essence, it is assumed and expected that as Christians who believe and trust in their Lord and Savior, come before Him seeking forgiveness, that God grants forgiveness. Without even being asked, without any special merit or worthiness on our own, the answer is yes. God gives that forgiveness. Let's go to our text. The first verse in our text, Jesus is speaking. He says, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Right here, that opening line basically says, we take God for granted. Let me flip it around the other way. God gives you the kingdom. When a child is brought to the baptismal font, and either I, your pastor, or another pastor takes water connected with God's word, and puts that water on the child in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We say a miracle now takes place. That child now has the kingdom of God. Did that child do anything to earn or merit the kingdom of God? The answer is no. Did the parents do anything to earn or merit the kingdom of God for this child? Again, the answer is no. God gives it. The church knows that when water is connected with God's word in this way, the church doesn't have to beg for God's kingdom. The church doesn't have to do something for God's kingdom. God's kingdom is given. You could say this is an assumption based on the promises of God. God promises that when water and the word is connected in that particular point in time, the kingdom of God is given. Likewise, same thing with confession and absolution. And also later on in our worship service, when we come and kneel to receive the Lord's body and blood, in with and under the bread and wine, we do not earn or merit the forgiveness of sins or the strengthening of faith. God gives it. He gives it freely. We don't have to ask. We don't have to beg. We don't have to bargain with God. In one essence, you could say, we take advantage of God. And what is God's response according to verse 32 of our text? God is pleased to give you the kingdom. Wow, what a wonderful relationship we have. We can actually take advantage of somebody, and God enjoys it. Good. Let's take advantage of His gracious, wonderful will and His pleasure of giving us the kingdom. But in our relationship with God, does it always end up at that point? Let me put it a different way. When we talk about our relationship to God and we see what He has done for us, giving us the kingdom, we also remember that He gives us other things besides the kingdom. In the Lord's Prayer, we'll be praying, "Give us this day our daily bread." And daily bread basically means everything that we need to support this life of ours. And indeed, we have been blessed by God because we've been given many luxuries, many possessions, many things. But what happens in our indulgence of the wonderful blessings that God gives to us, that we now have certain expectations of God? We want even more blessings. We want even more possessions. And we start sort of getting angry with God and saying, "God, why don't I have all the wonderful things that so-and-so has? Why does so-and-so have a better life? Look at all the toys so-and-so has, or the job promotion that so-and-so got. Or don't they have a better family than I do? Why can't I have that kind of family?" And a little bit of that jealousy comes in. And we start saying to God, "God, where are your blessings?" And too often, if we start thinking along those lines, we have lost sight of what verse 32 in our text has to say to us. God has given us the kingdom of God. He has given us eternal life, the forgiveness of sins. What more do we want? And that's a hard question to ask. Because if I asked you, what do you want for your birthday? What drives and motivates you possession-wise? We can come up with a nice long list of those things that we would like, really like. And now when we don't get it, we get angry with God. Again, are we taking God for granted? In one essence, yes, but this time in a negative sense. Let's see what our text has to say about that. Picking up with verse 33, Jesus now says, "Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourself that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." What is our Savior trying to communicate to us? Well, first of all, we need to separate that first sentence from the rest of that paragraph. The kingdom of God is yours, period, by God's grace and His grace alone. The next part of that paragraph deals with God's blessings. And what is God saying? Get rid of the blessings. Sell them. Give to the poor. And so I have to ask yourself, how many of you sold everything before you came to church today? And that's going to be kind of hard because most of you don't live within walking distance of the church. So that means you had to get into a car which is a possession. Obviously, we cannot sell all our possessions and give to the poor. So what is our Lord and Savior trying to teach us in these verses? Basically, don't get so attached to the physical possessions that God has given you, the wonderful blessings that He has given you, that you lose sight of the first verse in our text. Let's put it this way. Going back to that first verse, yes, God has given you the kingdom of God. You receive it by grace. No one can take it away from you. However, you can, unfortunately, give it up. You can be so consumed by the things of this world that you give up the kingdom of God for something that you perceive as more important. What is Jesus trying to teach us in these later verses? Don't be consumed by the possessions and blessings that God gives us. Trust in God. Take Him for granted for His grace. Don't take Him for granted for His possessions and blessings that He gives to us. God wants to be known as not as the Santa Claus who gives little good boys and girls something special for Christmas. No, God wants to be known as the one who gives His only begotten Son, who was born in which we celebrate at Christmas, and whose death we celebrate at Good Friday, and His resurrection we celebrate at Easter. He wants to be known as the God who redeems sinners and buys them back to bring with Him an eternal life in heaven above. Yes, God knows we need certain blessings to function in this life, and He graciously gives us many things. But He doesn't want us to be consumed by those blessings that we give up the one thing that's truly needful, the kingdom of God that He gives to us, the forgiveness of sins that He gives to us, the faith that He gives to us, the assurance of a place in heaven that He gives to us. Yes, we're supposed to take God for granted for all the wonderful spiritual blessings that He bestows upon us. But let's not take Him for granted for the physical blessings and then get angry with God because He hasn't given us enough. No, we come before our Lord and say, Lord, thank You for all the wonderful gifts. The gift of my faith, the gift of my salvation, the gift of eternal life. It is a free gift. We cannot earn, merit, or even ask for that gift. But God does say, ask for the temporal blessings. And in our asking, He's reassuring us of that relationship. We are His creation. He is the Creator. He wants us and reminds us that we worship the Creator, not the creation. So yes, God indeed has blessed us with many things. But let us not take these spiritual things and let's take the spiritual things for granted, realizing that He gives it to us freely, but not get angry when the physical things don't measure up to our expectation. God in His infinite wisdom has blessed us with many things. And He's blessed us with the things that He thinks that we need. So we come before our Lord and saying, okay, Lord, we know Your way is right. Help us to believe that. Help us to have faith in that. Help us to grow in that relationship. Just as He has given us this faith and continues to nurture us in this faith, He will not leave us or abandon us, but He will continue to draw us closer to Him. We just ask the Lord to help our sinful human nature. That stubbornness within us that says, I deserve these things. Because we do not deserve eternal life. We do not deserve the forgiveness of sins. We don't even deserve the physical possessions we do have. So we ask the Lord to grow our faith, to keep us humble in our relationship for Him, and to look to Him as the source of all blessings, but not to be consumed by those blessings, but to be drawn to Him for the forgiveness of sins and the eternal life which He provides. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.